Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. What would I like you to take with you? Maharaj has expressed something very nicely, and Jagatrini Mataji, using her own nature, has expressed something very sweetly about the trees and pastimes of Krishna. Superficially, they are very, very simple. And unless we remember, as Prabhupada said in one of the lectures we heard in the beginning, that unless we remember that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we will mistake them for just stories or mythology. But how wonderful it is that that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Sadashwaryapurna, interacts with his devotees in such intimate, loving ways. That brings one to the question of what causes Krishna to do this. And the answer, as we know, is due to the pure, selfless, and immense love of those devotees. So they, practically speaking, they keep Krishna under their control. In the Bhagavatam, when when Krishna himself explains the Chatusloki Bhagavatam to Lord Brahma, the order of the four verses as he presents them is very interesting. It is both interesting and significant, because the first two verses, beginning with a hum eva sam eva gray and rite ritanya pratyeta, these discuss sambandha, or our relationship with Krishna. And the second verse, because we have to know our relationship with Krishna before we will have any desire at all to develop that relationship with Krishna. And the third verse, one might think, would be abhideya tattva, or the process of developing one's relationship with Krishna. But it isn't. That's the fourth verse that Krishna himself presents. And that verse, Etadadeva Gigyaso, says that we have to attempt this at all times and all places if we wish to develop our relationship with Krishna. It has to be a fully serious, fully sincere attempt, not just at Govardhan. It has to be, as Maharaj said, it has to be wherever we are at all times. So that's the fourth verse, the Abhideya Tattva. So interestingly enough, the third verse is Prayojana Tattva. Usually we say Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, and we expect that to be the order. But the third verse is Prayojana Tattva. So here, when we come to Govardhan, Prayojana means, it means the necessity, the actual necessity for the living entity. And it also means the full goal which one is to obtain through Krishna consciousness. And that Prayojana Tattva is love for Krishna, Prema Pamarto Mahan. It is pure and full love for Krishna. And for the followers of Mahaprabhu, it is generally as the in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. So that the Prayojana Tattva is presented prior to the Abhideya Tattva, because the Prayojana Tattva, or love for Krishna in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, it has a special sweetness to it that is not available anywhere else, certainly not in the material world, but it is also not even available in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha. It belongs only in Braja, the intimate, special intimate dealings is so unique and so sweet. And the whole land of Vrindavan is fragrant by that sweetness. And therefore, Prabhupada even says in the Krishna book that even if a non-devotee, even if a non-devotee comes to Vrindavan, he will experience separation from Krishna. That sweetness is overpowering, practically speaking. One cannot help but become attracted to it just by entering the land of Vrindavan. So it is the fragrance that is so sweet. It is the pollen from the lotus feet of the Brijbasis. So once one gets a taste of that, and once one's mind becomes attracted to that, then one cannot go backwards, practically speaking. We can try and be in the material world, but it is not possible. And not only that, from that sweetness should come a strong desire to perform the truths of the Abhideya Tattva, or the practices of Krishna consciousness, that will bring us to the Prayojana platform. Because by the grace of Giriraj Govardhan, by the grace of Vrindavan, by the invitation of Srila Prabhupada and followers, by their grace we have been able to taste something according to our capacity of what Vrindavan is. Now we have to do the work. Not work in the sense of hard physical work, but the work in the sense of heart work, which means becoming Krishna conscious, means very much understanding that Krishna's mercy is with us. And this is very much following what Satchinandan Raj has said, that once one comes here, and really one may have the passport to come here, but the passport is not sufficient. The visa is only granted by one person to come to Vrindavan. Does anyone know who that one person is? Srimati Radharani, yes. Yes, because she is Vrindavan Ishwari. So it is certainly by the grace of Srimati Radharani that we are gathered here in the shelter of Giriraj Govardhan. So of course, we should take advantage of that grace and try to gain real entrance into service, the service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. But we cannot go until we are a little more purified, perhaps. So we should perform the processes of the practices of devotional service, of sadhana bhakti, nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatam vidhi sadhyata. This is the purpose. The purpose of the sadhana is to get the sadhya, the goal, which is prema pamato mahan. Now, and again, very much following in the mood of what Satchinanda Maharaj said, when we go to the West, it is a land, and also what Jagatini Mataji said, it is a land of darkness. And it is very seductive. How do you say seductive in German, in Deutsch? And in Russian? Yes. Seductive. It lures one in. No one can take Krishna consciousness from us, but it can be seduced by Maya, by Maya's promise. And when we enter the dark realm, sometimes we suffer. And we wonder why Krishna, just as Maharaj was saying, is absent from us, and why we are suffering. And this is a question that every devotee really must confront, because it is a very deep question. And in my conclusion, after studying, looking at Western philosophy, is that, practically speaking, the great theistical questions, theological questions, don't get past this point. How is it possible that God can exist in the midst of the suffering? And then again, we see that the devotees, they also suffer. So, to this question, why is it not that the rest of the world suffers? We won't discuss that, because we can discuss karma in that. But we want to discuss the question why, perhaps, even though we may not be great devotees, but why is it that we suffer? We have to confront this. And this is really just an underlying of the point that Satchinanda Ramaraj was making, that it is not the absence of Krishna, and Krishna does not treat the devotees in the same way that he treats the non-devotees. So I had referred previously to the comments of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on the 10th canto in the final chapter, or the 88th chapter, where he says, yasyaham anugraham mi harishya tadanam shanaya. Now I'd like to read the verse and some of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comments, because it's very important. The acharyas, such as Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they reveal the mind of Krishna. And if we look at God, Krishna, with our own mind, all we will reveal is our own mind. We won't actually understand Him. We will only understand ourself. Because we see Atmavan Manyate Jagat. We basically see the world. We see in the world what we have in our own mind. So let us hear something. I won't read the entire comment. But how Krishna, what is in Krishna's mind when the devotees are in difficulty? It is very important, because when we are in difficulty, and it has to happen, unless we are paramhamsas, it has to happen that difficulty will come. So how to view this? If we don't learn to see Krishna in this, then we will be seeing something outside of Krishna, which the second verse of the Sambandha Gyan, Rite Ritanya Pratyeta, explains. That means if you see something separate from Krishna, you're not actually seeing reality, you're seeing illusion. So we should know, my dear devotees, and because I'm emphasizing a point that Maharaj is making, please do not take offense, or don't retreat from this phrase, please. We need to understand that despite the difficulties, we are in Krishna's hand. Prabhupada has actually said that living in Vrindavan is like living on the lap of Krishna. Like the baby is so comfortable and safe on the lap of his mother and father. Similarly, living in Vrindavan is like that. But don't think that living in Vrindavan is all sweet rice and gulab jamuns. It is not. It is very difficult. It is very austere. So similarly, the path of devotion, in one sense, is difficult unless we understand that really, we are in the hands on the lap of Krishna at all times, that he never forsakes his devotees. That is his promise. Counting up, even if a devotee, sudaracharo, if he's ananyabak, bhajate mam ananyabak, if he's unflinching and taking shelter of Krishna, then sadar eva, he is actually a devotee. So when we're wondering why Krishna does what he does to us, we should understand that we're not thinking properly, and not we shouldn't worry about his duty, and wonder if he's doing his job properly. Rather, we should consider what our duty is during the times of difficulty, during the times of darkness, and even during the times of suffering. And our duty is to Then all times and all places, we should be taking shelter of Krishna. We should be saying, oh Krishna, Krishna, I am yours. In this circumstance, I am yours. In heaven, apitoyarta darshana. Whatever my circumstance is, swagapavaka narakeshu apitoyarta darshana, I am yours. If you want to treat me in this way, I better than anyone else know that I cannot say that I do not deserve the suffering. After what I have done in this life and previous lives, this is mild compared to what I deserve. I know better than anyone else what's in my heart. Others may say, oh, very nice, very nice. But I know. So I cannot honestly, if I'm going to be honest, say that this is not deserved. And Krishna, you are very kind. Let me take shelter of you at all times. So in any case, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on the verse, which is Krishna's words himself. Yasyaham anugrahami harishyatadanam shanai. The verse in English is, if I especially favor someone, I gradually deprive him of his wealth. Then the relatives and friends of such a poverty-stricken man abandon him. In this way he suffers one distress after another. So we won't take it as wealth, but only, but whatever we think is ours, in illusion, anything connected to the body or material mind, it is not ours. Whatever talent we have, whatever abilities we have, our intelligence, our beauty, our fame, our strength, even though it's so easy for me on one level to lift this, please know that this ability is a gift of Krishna. So simple, but Krishna in 1 second can take away every bit of that strength and I won't even be able to lift my own hand. It is a gift, it is not me. And it is not even mine, what to speak of it not being me. It is Krishna's, because Krishna possesses all strength, as we were saying. So all these things that I identify, that we think of as our wealth, they are not actually our wealth. Our only wealth is our whatever love for Krishna, whatever bhakti we have gathered in this world. And that Krishna will never take away. But that you can be sure and certain that Maya will try to seduce away. So again, to help us in resisting this and taking shelter of Krishna, making Krishna shelter, let's hear something about why Krishna acts. So first, I won't read everything in the purport because it's quite long, which is so wonderful because there's more details on the thinking of Krishna. But he says, devotees of the Supreme Lord experience both happiness and distress, not as the fruits of their karma, their material work. It is not due to their karma that the suffering or the happiness comes. But, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, it is due to the incidental, the extra effects of their loving reciprocation with the Lord. Now, he quotes Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhaktivedanta Samrita Sindhu, Nectar Devotion, saying that a Vaishnava, a devotee, is relieved from all the effects of all his karma, and he explains this in relationship to the devotees, their upper abdha karma that is removed. The karma even that comes along with their body. And then he gives many quotations saying that devotees, whatever happens to them, it is not a product of their karma. And if their vision is correct, and this, in other parts of the Bhagavatam in commentaries it explains this is not only for the advanced, most exalted devotee. We have expressed and we will continue to express our desire is to take shelter. We may not be on the platform where we take full shelter of Krishna, but that desire, Krishna is so kind that he accepts the sincere desire, the once calling out, "Hey Govinda," the once saying, "From this day forward, my Lord, I am yours." He takes that as the exact, as the perfection, and he puts his hand on you at that time, and he will never let you go, ever. So a devotee, what happens to a devotee in this world is not his karma, although Krishna may use like karma to purify someone, but it is not. It is the touch of Krishna's hand. So he'll give the example of when your enemy beats you, which is Maya beating you in the example, it is far different from when your mother gives you a loving slap for the purpose of making sure that you act properly. There is a great difference, opposite. So similarly, when a devotee suffers, it is Krishna acting for his purposes. So he explains, although happiness and distress of a devotee experiences resembles ordinary karmic reactions, they are in fact given by the Lord himself. And then he gives another quotation, Bhavad Utta Subha Subhayo. A mature devotee recognizes the superficial good and bad conditions he encounters as signs of the direct guidance of his ever well-wishing Lord. So maturity is defined in recognizing it as opposed to Krishna only dealing in this, taking care of his mature devotees. It is the recognition of that. He continues further with an example that I just gave. An affectionate father, not quite what I just gave, but a little more. An affectionate father takes the responsibility of restricting his children's play and making them go to school. He knows that this is a genuine expression of his love for him, of love for his children, even if the children cannot appreciate it. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is mercifully strict with all his dependents, not only with immature devotees struggling to become qualified. So he's being strict with the mature devotees too, and he gives some examples of that, but also he's being strict with the immature devotees, and again, immature is defined as mature and immature are defined as those who know that that everything is coming by Krishna's mercy, and those who don't. That is the difference between immature and mature. So he gives examples to show that even the mature devotees get treated strictly, and he gives the example of Prahlad Maharaj, who was under the protection of his father, but his father was trying to kill him continuously. And Yudhisthira Maharaj, who he calls the crest jewel of perfected saints, experienced great unhappiness, so much that when Krishna brought the Pandavas in front of Bhishma Dev, as we spoke about earlier, was crying. And he said his conclusion, which should be our conclusion when something difficult happens to us, is, the conclusion is, no one can actually, yatra dharma sato rajan, that no one can actually understand the plan of Krishna. Instead of always trying to think, oh, Krishna, why are you doing this? No, but just remember, He is the Supreme. He is God. And I'm this little insignificant little bug. Like, it's like, and how can we understand? Just like, when the child asks, the little baby asks, mother, where do I come from? How did I get in this world? The mother says, oh, a big bird came and brought you here, a stork or something. Why? Is the mother trying to be dishonest? No. But there is no way the child's ability matches the truth. So something is told, but the child just says yes. Why? Because she knows that the mother loves her. And mother's not going to... Simple faith is all one can say. So a mature devotee, he may or he may not understand why what is happening to him is happening to him, but he has pure and simple faith that Krishna's merciful hand is behind this. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur continues, well, if the devotees suffer and non-devotees suffer, he asks the question, what is the difference between the happiness and distress caused by one's own karma and that brought about by the devotee, by Krishna's mercy? And he explains that the happiness and distress brought about by one's karma tangles one further and more deeply in the material world, and the effects of it are very, very long. While on the other hand, the happiness and distress caused by Krishna are not equal to that at all. And he compares that to the chastisement of one's mother as opposed to the chastisement of one's enemy. One causes, one is like nectar and the other is like poison. So then he asks another question. But why can't the Lord, who by definition is capable of doing anything, because he's omnipotent, all-powerful, why can't he accomplish his purpose without giving distress to his devotees? So it's like putting in a plea like that. And he answers that, yes, he, the reservoir of unlimited pastimes, can accomplish his purposes. But when he sometimes gives suffering to his beloved devotee, that suffering gives rise to great pleasure. Just as the ointment, a stinging ointment, say if one has a cut on one's body and the doctor puts on some ointment that stings, but the patient takes that stinging is very good. It's a good kind of pain, as they say. Because he knows that it's going to cure him of some disease that he has. And I've heard devotees, you say, how are you doing? You say to them and they say, much better than I deserve. Or sometimes they say, Krishna is trying to remove my pride. So they're recognizing something of the diseases that they have in their humility, and they recognize Krishna's affectionate hand in that administration of the difficulties. And then he gives another reason. In addition, suffering protects the confidentiality, the secretness of devotional service from outsiders. Because the devotees, they don't come to Krishna consciousness to remove their suffering. They come to the mature devotees. They're in Krishna consciousness to please Krishna. And that's far more important than suffering, than removal of suffering. Krishna consciousness is moksha lagudakrit. It makes the full removal of suffering insignificant, an ocean compared to a drop. Krishna consciousness, we get a glimpse here of what the full ocean actually is. And liberation or the removal of suffering is like just a part of a drop compared to that ocean of Krishna consciousness. And he gives more reasons too why Krishna does that. If the devotee were complacently happy all the time, the Lord would never have a reason to appear in this world as Krishna, Ramachandra, and Nrisimha, since they come to protect since the incarnations come to protect the devotees and destroy the demons. Puritanaya sadhunam vinasya shudaskritam. So then we say, okay, that means that every time I have a headache or someone fights with me or I get hit by something, does that mean Krishna's going to come and incarnate to protect me? Maharaj, that's the first time I've ever seen you doing that. That's nice. I like it. Because he was always criticizing me. Why are you taking pictures, my dear devotee? You should be taking mental pictures. But we should take mental pictures. And of course the purpose of the other pictures is to put the make the sanskara, the mental picture. But so then we may say, why is it, is Krishna going to incarnate like that? What is the benefit? I mean, Krishna's not going to incarnate for me. He incarnates when Prahlad is in distress. One full incarnation of God comes to protect one devotee. But not me. I don't have that kind of devotion. So what is the benefit to me if this is the one of the reasons why he gives distress? But my dear devotees, there is a benefit to us. Even when he comes personally to protect the great devotees. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, without the Lord showing himself on earth in his original form of Krishna to remove the burden of the earth, etc., and other incarnations, how would the devotees in this world be able to enjoy playing in the nectar ocean of his Vrindavan pastimes, especially the Rasalila? In other words, by the mercy of Krishna's coming and displaying especially his Vrindavan pastimes, he's opening the door to his private palace, the most intimate quarters, and allowing us whose devotion is not yet matured into Braja Prem, a glimpse and something to fill our mind with. When Narada Muni went to see Krishna in Dwarka, Krishna greeted him, gave him a seat, and washed his feet, and took the water that had washed his feet. And this is God doing this, teaching us how to greet a great devotee like Narada Muni. And then he said, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? And he said, oh Lord, please give me the benediction that I can think about you and remember you constantly. That was what he had asked for. And then Narada Muni went from palace to palace to palace to palace to palace to palace. 16,108 palaces of Krishna are there in Dwarka, and in one palace he saw Krishna eating with one of his queens. In another palace he saw Krishna playing chess with one of his associates. Another palace he saw that Krishna was engaging in plotting and scheming to defeat his enemy. And another palace, he saw this exchange with this devotee. Another palace, he saw this exchange. He went from one palace to another. And one time, he saw Krishna putting on a disguise to go out into the city in disguise, incognito, so he could find out what the citizens and his ministers were thinking about him and his government. This is the all-knowing Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's playing in this way. He puts on a disguise, false glasses and a mustache. I don't know what he used. So Krishna is doing so many things, and when Narada Muni was finished after seeing this, he comes back and he says to Krishna, Krishna says to him, thank you very much. He says, Krishna, what any more that I can do for you? And Narada Muni says, now, please just give me the benediction that I can just travel throughout the world singing the glories of, basically, of what I have just seen. Because the point being that Krishna, he wanted to think about Krishna. But unless we have pastimes of Krishna and qualities of Krishna and form of Krishna to think about, we don't have anything to think about Krishna with. Content is so important. So Krishna so kindly comes to this world to give us content so that we can think about Him, so we can speak about Him, and we can sing about Him continuously. And deeply, deeply comment, contemplate. So we have something to do with our mind and intelligence and be fully absorbed, fully dyed, our consciousness and Krishna consciousness. So Krishna comes and he gives his and even distress to his devotees so he can come and save them, rescue them. But then there's one more question that... And then when he comes, he shows his pastimes. Then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur asks another question. But what fault would be there in God's incarnating for some other reason than to deliver saintly persons from suffering? Very wonderful question. Does he have to cause his devotees suffering? Can't he find another reason to come? And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur answers this question in a very interesting way. He says, and he answers it in a way that will feed you. I didn't even say it, so I can't even say it. Oh yes, I did, I'm sorry. The question was, can't he find another reason to come? Other than to give his devotees suffering, does he have to do that? To come? Can't he find another reason to come? So his answer to this question is very wonderful, but it is also very surprising. Does anyone want to hear his answer?
Yes.
If you would like to hear this, his answer to the question, then please say, Giriraj Maharaj Ki! Yes. No. He comes to relieve their distress, but it is also said that ultimately, since he's the cause of all causes, he's causing them the distress that he's relieving them from. Just like if the doctor, if you walk, this is, you can make a mundane example, the doctor will cut you, and then he'll cure you, and then expect you to say thank you. So that's something like the question. But of course it's being asked from the non-devotional point of view, because the devotee who's being, or the patient who's being cut is not a devotee of the doctor, and the doctor isn't the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it's an example of what the question is like. Isn't there another reason why Krishna could find to incarnate himself other than to give distress like he did to Prahlad? You know, ultimately he's the cause of all causes. He says, because the one who giving Prahlad distress is Hiranyakashipu, who is Jayavijay, and Krishna said, this is my leela, it's my desire that he come. So the question is, can't Krishna find another reason to come? So we ready? Yes? Is that okay? So he says, this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's reply. Yes, my dear brother, this makes good sense. But you are not expert in understanding spiritual moods. Please listen. The sunrise appears attractive because of the darkness of night. During the hot summer, cold water gives comfort and it is pleasing. Lamplight appears attractive in darkness, not in the glaring light of day. And when one is distressed by hunger, food tastes especially good. There is no need to elaborate more. Think about it, my dear devotees. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given you something to think about and meditate on and to inquire about. Now, although I really shouldn't do it, I'm going to do it anyway, because it's hard not to end with Srila Prabhupada's words here, and I think it's quite appropriate. Could you hand out the sheets? It's 10 minutes. It's a relatively long one, but it's not too long. And then that will be the end. We have what struck me from the retreat was the importance, as many of the devotees said, of becoming attached to Krishna. Now, in this lecture of Prabhupada's, he will take that to a very, very, very high degree. Raise your hand if you've not yet received the sheet. On this side, there is a load, L-O-D, of devotees who have not yet received it. And also it is said in this case of why Krishna causes devotees suffering, because heat is required to mature a fruit. Heat and being tested and passing or failing and passing and failing and failing and falling and getting up and trying again. This is required to soften the heart and make the devotee mature, practically speaking. Please listen to Prabhupada's words. I don't think it's loud enough. Is that true?
The summary is that Krishna is sitting sarvasya cha aham, really within the heart, sannivishta, and seated Ishara Parvavidana, and he is giving intelligence and forgetfulness. Why one is forgetful of Krishna, and why one is conscious of Krishna, that is also due to Krishna. One who has tried to forget Krishna, then Krishna is giving an opportunity to forget Krishna. One who is trying to know Krishna, then Krishna is giving intelligence to know Krishna. Krishna is there. If you want to know Krishna, then Krishna will give you intelligence. If you want to forget Krishna, then he will give you, mislead you in such a way that he will ever, forever forget Krishna. Karma-satyam-vidishanam. That is also explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Tāraham disata puran kipāmi adasraṁ dhajyane. Those are asuras, demons, trying to defy the existence of God, Krishna. Krishna is putting in such circumstances, in such families, in such society, in such community, in such country, that he will have no opportunity to know Krishna. Tāraham, because he is envious of Krishna, wants to forget Krishna. So Krishna is putting him in such a way. And one who is little eager to know Krishna, then Krishna is giving him intelligence. Tisham satyugyuktanam bhajatam atyitikudvagam dadami buddhijogam tam jenamama bhujam iti. Everything is said there. Tisham satyugyuktanam. Anyone who is 24 hours engaged, how he is engaged? Bhajata! Simply for bhajan. belong me and possible. I worship Krishna. Satatajiptana, 24 hours, anxious, how to serve Krishna, how to serve Krishna. To become mad after Krishna, that person. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, sunnayitam jagat sarvam, govindam virayena me. I see everything vacant, being separated from Govinda. This is the love. So, of course, it is not possible to come to that position like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is Mahabhav. Mahabhav. It is not for any human being to come to stay. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown how to become mad after Krishna. By his life, when you are in Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya, at night he would go out and fall down on the sea or somewhere. The door was closed and still he would get out and go and try his business. Then the assistant secretary would go out and find out. So, for 18 years he was in that way, in Jagannath Puri. That is called Mahabhava. So, it is not possible for human being. But at least, not Mahabhav, but Bhav, that we can. Tato Bhav, Adu Sadhya Tato Sadhu Sangha, Ata Anapta Nivittishya, Tato Nishtha Tato Vichi, Tatha Shakti Tato Bhav. One can increase gradually to the stage of Bhav. This Bhava stage, that separation. Just like the Goswamis, when they were in Vrindavan, they were feeling this Bhava. He Radhi Vrajate Vite Chalavite He Nanda Sunak Kutaha. And they were simply searching in the Vrindavan forest. He Radhi Radharan. Vrajadeviki, all the gopis. He Radhi, Vrajadeviki, Chalalite, He Nandasuna, or the son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna. Kuta, where you are? This is all. Where you are? Si Govardhana Padavatale, Kalindi Guvane Kutaha, where you are? Are you near the Govardhan Hill?
Take a look and see. The Goswamis would wander. He Radhe Brajadevike Chalalite He Nanda Suno Kuta Sri Govardhana Kaupapada Patale Kalindi Vane Kuta. This was their meditation continuously, and Prabhupada said we should attain that. But also note that he said gradually we can attain Bhava, not make-believe, and imagine the make-believe is the real thing. But yet we should attain that. We must attain that. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And that is the purpose of the distress. Where is Krishna in that distress even? And as Maharaj so nicely explained, He will come when we are humbly looking for Him, even in that, in the darkness, the light will come, Krishna will come. Yes? But we should be looking for Krishna everywhere. If we're not looking for Krishna, we will be looking for Maya, something else. The desire must flame within us. And the example by his life is Mahaprabhu, especially in Jagannath Puri.
Or some forest on the bank of the Jamuna, please let me know. Gosantaviti sarvato vrajapure kevai mahaguru. In this way, they are searching after Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? and cry, Gosantaruti, Mahabhut, that's black man. This is Krishna consciousness. This is the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness. Where one will be mad after Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also told us that way. The Goswamis also told us that way. Therefore, Narottama Sadhu says, that we must follow the Goswamis and their servants.
Now, in the remainder of this lecture, Prabhupada will speak about following the servants of Mahaprabhu, the Goswamis. And it's so interesting what his conclusion is. From searching and wandering all over Vrindavan, looking for Krishna, he will bring it to the point of something very relevant for those who live in the West, and how to follow the Goswamis, the mood of the Goswamis in the West.
I'm not going to be silent for anyone. But a person who has taken the six Goswamis as his master, I will tell you. Why he shall become anyone's child? But if somebody is the servant of the Goswami, then I do. Dasavar Padavenu Murukhana. Then just the lotus feet, that is my food. This is not from the sun. Inshai Gosai Gavin, Brajikoila Bhat. Radha Krishna Nishtha Lila Puriva Prabhupada. What is the business of Goswami? From Vrindavan, they try to broadcast the pastimes of Lord Krishna, Krishna and Radha. Inshai Gosai Gavin, Brajikoila Bhat. So you should follow that principle. That you should not be backed up. Sometimes you find in Vrindavan, they say, no, no, I have taken vow. I am not going out of Vrindavan. Of course, the Goswamis did not get out of Vrindavan. Hmm? But the priest, Rana Shastra Vicharane Kanikolo, Saddharma Samasthapu, they are always in the writing book. Nana Shastra, various Shastra, scripture, all the study, and taking essence of the Shastra and presenting to the world people why Sadharma Samasthapu, just to establish real religiousness. Nana Shastra, Vicharane, we scrutinize him, thinking of that and giving to the people. This is Goswami. Nana Shastra Vicharane Kanikuno Sadhana Samasthapako. Why? Lokanam Hitakarino. For the benefit of the whole human society. Lokanam Hitakarino. Maranno Saranno. Therefore one should take shelter of the Goswami. That is Goswami.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yes.
May I ask a question? This is a very, very wonderful quotation, and I believe it is something very essentially what you want to give us, therefore you play it at the end. Could you maybe... I was very inspired reading this morning. I had an advanced copy of this page, and I was really reading it when I was in Japan, and I was wondering what are the different dimensions of serving the Goswamis. One is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada, to take the essence of the scriptures and bring it to the worldly people. Do you have another guide? Could you just give us a few guidelines? Because it seems these are your advices in passing to us. How do we follow the Goswamis?
By being mad after Krishna, Radha and Krishna, and their service, and being nourished so deeply by that, that we're always thinking how to serve Krishna, how to gain the mercy of Krishna. This becomes the meditation. By serving those who are serving the Goswamis. Maybe I am not Goswami, but we want to be the servant of the servant of those who serve the Goswamis. So Prabhupada very clearly is such a person, and he very clearly was so interested in preaching Krishna consciousness. And he said, if you are thankful to me, this isn't the exact words he used, then preach. If you feel some indebtedness, then preach. So realize something as deeply as you are able, and let that depth be increasingly deep in attaining bhava, and preach and teach and train others. And when we're out in the world, we should keep our heart at the foot of Govardhan Hill, thinking how the Goswamis were so interested in looking for Krishna and serving Krishna. And here we should keep our heart. We should not keep it in the world of Volkswagens, etc. Obviously, we should keep our heart here, and we should never let it leave Vrindavan. And anyone who ever met Prabhupada saw that about Prabhupada. And when even just looking at those pictures, those old photographs that we saw of Srila Prabhupada, did he look like he was a resident of London or New York or this place? Just by looking at his gravity, it came through even in the photographs that he was a resident of a different place. Not of this world. Not of this world. He was a resident of Vrindavan. And I personally had the experience of, fortunately, that I was with him for several weeks in 1976 and traveled with him when he went from Melbourne to Fiji to Hawaii to Honolulu. And then after being soaking in some of Prabhupada's presence, according to my very small capacity, I went to Dallas, Texas, and I went on the altar there to serve Radhakala Chandri. And that was the first time that I had ever walked on an altar where there were Radha Krishna deities. And without any premeditation, just like when you walked into a Sheshishwar Mahadev, immediately there's the atmosphere of a Lord Shiva temple. You're immediately experienced if you have experience in these things. Well, when I walked on the altar to serve Radhakala Chandri for the first time, the immediate thing was, this is just like being with Prabhupada. The same sweetness of his presence and association was there. And then years later I came to Vrindavan, and it's the same. The same sweetness that attracts us, the peaceful, deep sweetness that attracts us to this very spot is the same peaceful, deep sweetness that attracts everyone who serves Radha and Krishna deities, is the same sweetness and peaceful, deep sweetness that Prabhupada carried in his heart. So, clearly, theoretically at least, it made it clear to me that what was Prabhupada's secret for in carrying Krishna consciousness all over the world. Everyone was so attracted to sit in his presence because for the same reason we're also attracted to sitting right here, the same exact reason, because it's Vrindavan. So in the devotee's heart is Krishna, Radha and Krishna, and Vrindavan. And in Radha and Krishna's heart is the devotee. This is love. So how to attain this bhava, this love, this is what we're after. How to attain it. And Prabhupada was very, very clear that preaching is so important in that. Because perhaps I don't have any piety in my life. I'm an impious person by nature, by inclination, by birth, by sanskaras. But if one preaches, then Krishna gives a little extra special mercy and preaches as a servant too. Preaching as a servant, then Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that no one is more dear to him. So a little makes up for the lack. That's the conclusion. And this conclusion was established certainly by Srila Prabhupada, that it's a very, very important engagement, preaching, because it makes Krishna so inclined. Not only Krishna, but the most dear beloved of Krishna, those who want to serve Krishna the most, those who love Krishna and want to serve him the most, will bestow their blessings on those who bring more servants to Krishna. So that's our hope. So, does that... Okay, now we can move on to the next